presence tonight. We've got a really good number present, and thank you so much for coming and being here. And if you're not a member of the Church of Christ and someone has invited you to come and you've been so kind to come, and we thank you for being here. And we hope that if you have any questions or concerning maybe something that I might say, I'd be glad to talk to you about those things. If you have some question or interest in the church here, there's good brethren here that'll talk to you about that. And well, we're really glad that you've come. Hope you brought your Bible and that you'll study along with us as we look at God's Word tonight. I want to thank the brethren here for being so very kind and hospitable, and Larry and Angela taking care of us yesterday, and tonight Chuck and Susan took care of us. We appreciate that very, very much. And again, very hospitable, and but especially the fact that you've been so kind in regards to your comments and your encouragement about the lessons and so forth, and I'm greatly encouraged by that. And thank you so much. Well, I feel really old tonight. I really do. Mark Gibson is here. And he just told me he's one of the elders now of the church that he's working with there. And I've known him ever since he was a kid. And he said something about, well, they must think I'm old or something or other to make me an elder. And I said, Mark, that you are old. What are you talking about? You are old. His dearly beloved there, Miss Kelly, babysitted our kids or our son back when she was young. And but it's really great to see them. Appreciate them being here. And some Birdwells that are here. That we've got bunches of Birdwells, his family at Anderson where I preach. And glad to see them and have them come. And appreciate so very much Tim Bean, way back Bowling Green, right? Way back there. When Mary Lou and I were young, way back in the day. And then Angela. She's older than dirt. She's my age. And her father preached, when my parents came out of the denominational church, we moved to Louisville, Kentucky, and her father was preaching there. And I don't remember her. I'm sure she remembers me, but we were there. We were there way back in the olden days. But so it's interesting to, you know, regardless of where you go, you make connections with people, and we know somebody that knows somebody, and it's somebody says, well, it's a, you know, small world, it's a big family, and lots of great connections, and that's just really, really awesome. So the elders had asked me in coming to talk about some of the things that are threatening the church, problems, issues, temptations, trials, that sort of thing. And so we started Sunday morning just talking about the importance of personally, individually, as Christians, our faith, and how important it is to serve God, to obey Him, to grow our faith. We talked about and also the idea of setting heaven as our goal. And if you really make that your goal in life, that I'm going to heaven, how that affects the church. If each and every member of the local church has great faith and is bound and determined they're going to go to heaven, how that affects the church in such a very positive way. So tonight I want to talk a little bit more about the idea of not conformed but transformed. And we're looking at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 as the key, or our kind of our foundational passage that we're using. And you remember this passage, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Two key words there is the idea of conformed. That is to be fashioned or to be like the world. Paul says, don't do that. But rather be transformed, and that is to be changed. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power to change men's lives by first changing a man's heart. And when the Word of God changes a man's heart, it changes his life. It changes the way he lives, what he does. But if you're, as a child of God, if you're out here trying to teach people the gospel and trying to help people get to heaven, you've run into an issue or a problem with many people. They don't want to argue about anything. They don't really even want to discuss much. They don't really want to talk about much because they've taken this idea of it really doesn't matter what you believe. So it's kind of the idea that, well, you just believe what you want to believe, I'll believe what I want to believe, and everything will be fine. Well, if that's true, we need to preach and teach that. But if that's not true, we don't need to preach and teach that. So tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about that. So this is how I want to start. Jesus Christ had a plan. And that plan, he said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. I believe the Bible reveals to us that Jesus accomplished the plan that he intended. That through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, he established a church, a people, a saved group that belonged to God. And he also had a plan. And he prayed about that. And his prayer was that we all might be one. Now that's a simple plan and prayer. He would build his church. And he prayed that we'd all be one. I want to stop there and just to say this. If then Jesus accomplished his plan of building his church, and he did, and I accept that by faith through the Word of God, then his prayer is also possible. It is also able to be accomplished, and that is that we be one. The question that we have is, has the religious world accomplished the Lord's Prayer? And I'm going to say to you, no. And the reason I would say no is that there's so many churches, and they all claim to be right. But the reality of it is, each one of them are different. I've been preaching long enough that I remember back in the day that you would see charts and bulletins and pamphlets and so forth that would say over 300 different denominations now among us. That's not true anymore. There are literally thousands. And there's more splintering. There's more division. There's more dividing. And so what we have come to see in the religious world, because of all of this division, there's a group of people, the generation now, that looks at organized religion as something to be avoided. There are those that are involved with organized religion that have come to a conclusion, and it seems to be pretty much across the board, that it doesn't matter what you believe. So tonight, I would really like to begin by talking about the Bible teaches us that division is sinful. What we have in the religious world of Christianity, quote, is a lot of division. And based upon what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, God is not happy about that division. It is opposite of what he prayed for. And Paul says that we all agree. How could we agree? How could all of us be on the exact same page of what we believe, what we teach, what we practice? Well, we talked a little bit about that last night. To be a strong church, the first and foremost idea is that we are willing to follow God's word as our only standard of authority. And I know many of you have heard that many times before, and it's still true. But so many people are just not believing that anymore. Not accepting that anymore. So does it really matter what we believe? Does it really matter what we teach? Does it really matter how you live your life? Now, those three questions are going to be enough for me to discuss that typically and normally someone who is of the world, this in and of itself would probably make them mad. But I'm going to add one more question. Does it matter where you go to church? Now, my intention is not to make anybody mad. My intention is to challenge your thinking. If you're not a member of the body of Jesus Christ, I want you, please, sincerely, study along with us from the Word of God. Think about what we're talking about. Examine it with your own heart. If you're a child of God, and maybe you're sort of getting swept up by some of the things that many brethren are starting to say and talk about now, I want you to listen. Please listen. Please follow along with me in your Bible. Let's see if we can get some answers. So, we'll start with, does it really matter what you believe? And I'm going to try to keep this as simple as I possibly can for one reason only. I can't make it difficult. I'm not smart enough to do that. So it's going to be simple. So, Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24, he said, I said therefore to you that you shall die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So I ask you, does it really matter what you believe? Jesus Christ says, yes. You say, well, how did he say that? Well, look at the text again. For unless you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Do you know there are people that don't believe that Jesus is the I am? We have people now that want to join in fellowship a number of non-believers in Jesus, believers in other ideologies, and they want to fellowship that. Let me give you an example. the religion of Islam. Have you ever talked to a Muslim? I've had the good fortune of being able to study with a Muslim and talk about Jesus. And I tell you what is a major mistake with most people that are Christians that talk to someone that is a Muslim. Is your first reaction and thought is, well, they don't even believe in Jesus anyway. And that is absolutely wrong. They do believe in Jesus. They believe that Jesus was a prophet, but they spell that prophet with a little p. There was only one prophet with a capital P. That's Muhammad. They also believe that John the Baptist was a prophet, little p. But they do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They do not believe that he arose from the dead. But they believe in Jesus. Some have then accepted that as enough that we can have fellowship. But I want you to notice here what Jesus says in this text. The idea, unless you believe that I am he. In most of your English translations, he is probably italicized. So it would read, for unless you believe that I am. Does that ring a bell with any of you? I am. Do you remember the burning bush? You remember when Moses went and saw the burning bush? Take off your sandals, for the ground you're on is holy ground. There was a conversation. Now we learn the process of that conversation, the burning bush. There's an angel speaking to Moses. And God is speaking through the angel, by means of the angel. And Moses is given a command from God to go to Pharaoh. And at some point Moses says, well, who shall I say sent me? You remember the answer? The I am sends you. What we learn when you study a little bit about that particular idea is that that is in reference to none other than Jehovah God. Yahweh. So Jesus is here speaking in John 8 and verse 24, and he says, unless you believe that I am Jehovah God, you shall die in your sins. Does it make a difference what you believe? If you don't believe in Jesus as the Son of God, yea, that he is Jehovah God, you cannot have your sins forgiven. To me, that is clear evidence that it makes a difference what you believe. Another idea. Does it matter what you teach? If it doesn't matter what you believe, well, then you can just teach anything you want to. And throughout various churches, that's happening. People just believe anything, and they teach about anything. Our Lord said in Matthew 15 and verse 9, he says, in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. There's a clear distinction in the Bible between man's ideas and God's ideas. Isaiah talked about that. The reality of it is, when we as men start to teach things that are not in this book, we're teaching men's doctrines. Jesus says, when you teach men's doctrines, your worship is vain. The way we'd say that in Kentucky, your worship doesn't get above the ceiling. It's ineffective. So the question is, does it matter what you teach? Does it matter how you live your life? What do most people say today? Why, if you was to say anything to someone about their life choices, how they were living their lives, and they're living immorally, they might give you a cussing. They might tell you to mind your own business. And then even people from the world might have the same reaction. Did you get that transition? The Apostle Paul in Titus 2, he says, "For the grace of God is pure, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age." Does it matter how you live your life? Paul says the grace of God, now notice this, that the grace of God instructs us. The grace of God has appeared. And we're taught, we're instructed to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. God expects all men everywhere to repent. Stop doing the bad stuff. Stop doing unrighteous, ungodly things. And the grace of God teaches us that. But does it matter where you go to church? Even before I started preaching, I remember hearing the idea of joining the church of your choice. Well, I believe in freedom to make a choice. But does it matter which church? If you ask most everyone you know outside of the body of Jesus Christ, and maybe even a few in the body of Jesus Christ, because things are changing, does it matter where you go to church? People are going to say, no, it doesn't. Paul said, "Do not participate or fellowship in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." Now, if you don't think it matters what you believe and what you teach and how you live your life, it certainly is going to be very difficult to identify darkness. Well, who's to say that this church is not walking in the light? Who's to say that? Because it really don't matter what you believe, etc. Well, Paul seemed to think that it does matter because we're not supposed to participate or fellowship with those in darkness. Anybody ever rode in a canoe? You get in a canoe, and that's a getting wet all over, ready to happen. Especially if you've got two people in the canoe. Just getting off of the bank into the canoe without getting wet is a challenge. Getting off of the dock into the boat is quite the challenge. And if you've got two people trying to do that, as my grandpa will say, that's might near impossible. So you get two people in the canoe, and you're both using your oars, and you're paddling, and you're moving to coordinate all of that, and that just doesn't happen, you know. You got to work on that. But if you get out in the middle of the lake and both of you decide to stand up in the canoe and start doing jumping jacks, there's going to be a problem. It's called rocking the boat. And probably both of you are going to wind up in the water and probably the canoe upside down, taking on water and sinking. Fellowship can be a very delicate thing. Do you see that word? Fellowship. Fellows in the same boat. Paul is talking about the idea of participation, joint participation. And it's based upon the gospel. And he says, don't fellowship, don't get in the canoe with somebody that is practicing darkness. Anybody ever heard of the Church of Satan? You heard of that? In the early 60s, the Supreme Court ruled that it's to be recognized as a legitimate church. Now just take a shot in the dark. Just a shot. What do you think they worship? I mean, just, you know, it's kind of like who's buried in Grant's tomb kind of thing, right? So if I was to ask you, does it matter where you go to church? And you say, nah, it don't matter. How about Church of Satan? Well, no, I didn't mean that. How do you reasonably argue from the Word of God that it matters where you go to church when you talk about the Church of Satan, but it doesn't matter with any other church? What about this one? You ever heard of the MCC? Metropolitan Community Church. The members are called Rainbow Christians. Now, I don't have an axe to grind whatsoever with people that are homosexual, etc. I don't hate them. I'm not homophobic. But I am against sin. And this church is made up of people that believe homosexuality is accepted of God. Does it matter where you go to church? Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. So what if you go to a church that transgresses the law of God? Did you read that passage? Those that don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, they don't have God. The Bible teaches us the importance of abiding in God. A God abiding in us. It's your eternal destiny that's on the line. So let's think through this just a bit. So we're talking about, does it really matter what you believe, what you teach, how you live your life, where you go to church? I've tried to demonstrate just real simply some ideas where I think those questions are answered. But let's think a little bit more practically about it. Are there any churches that have women preachers today? Does it matter? Now, for a lot of people, that's going to be a major issue. And it's not going to be fun to discuss with some people. A good friend of mine, when I lived in Huntsville, Alabama, was preaching for the Jordan Park Church. He'd set up Bible studies for us every week. And we would go, like on a Tuesday night, we'd have 3, 4, 5 different Bible studies that evening. And we went to this lady's house. And my friend had already had a few Bible studies with her. The night I was with him, studying with her, we were just getting ready to start our Bible study. And the lady said, "I got a question before you start." Okay. She said, "I went to church Sunday." She said, "We were getting ready to have the sermon. And our preacher got up and said, we have a visitor today. And I've asked them to preach today." The person got up to preach, and it was a woman. And she said everybody started whispering. And the question they were asking, and the question she was asking, and she leaned over to ask a couple of people, she said, "Doesn't the Bible say women are not supposed to preach? Where does it say that?" A bunch of them were thumbing through their Bible. Now this woman is getting up here getting ready to start preaching. And a lot of the folks are trying to open up their Bible and find where it says women aren't supposed to be preaching. And they can't find it. They didn't find it. So on Tuesday night, we're having a Bible study with her. She asks us that question. So we turn to 1 Corinthians 14. And we read this passage with her. And the text says, "Women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves, just as the law also says. If they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is improper for a woman to speak in church." She got so excited. She said, "That's it. I knew it was in there somewhere." She said, "But couldn't none of us find it?" Said, "We even talked to our preacher. And we said, isn't there something in the Bible about a woman's not supposed to be preaching?" He said, "Well, I don't know no scripture that says anything like that." So we said to her, "Well, there's another passage that you can think about, that we can talk about just for a minute. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 11, a woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. Verse 12, "But I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. For it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression." Here are two very important passages that ought to be studied and talked about. And this has nothing to do with male-female equality. In Christ, male and females are equal, but they're not the same. There's a difference in that. Have you heard that there are people having problems about males and females and which is which? And you've heard that? Well, if people are having that in political discussions, what do you think it's going to be like in a religious discussion? So does it matter what you believe? Does it matter what you teach? Does it matter how you live your life? Does it matter where you go to church? What if the Bible specifically speaks concerning women not preaching? What if you're going to a church where a woman is preaching? You've got the issue then of abiding in the doctrine of Christ or not abiding in the doctrine of Christ, having God or not having God. I'm going to suggest that it matters. Mechanical instruments and music. You ever heard that one? I was studying the Bible one time with a person from a denomination, and they had visited where I was preaching for a bit. And as we were studying, they asked me, they said, "I've noticed that y'all don't have a piano." I said, "No, we don't have a piano." He said, "Well, I was kind of wondering why y'all didn't have one. I said, "I just figured y'all couldn't afford one." And I said, in the church I was preaching for, it was kind of a small group, and I said, "Well, I don't know if we can afford one or not. Probably we could if we really wanted one there, but that's not really the issue." They said, "Well, what's the issue?" This person was sincere. You know, I think there are a lot of people that just don't know. Do you remember the first lesson of this meeting? Challenging you to read your Bible every day, 10 chapters a day for 3 months. Well, why did we start that way? How in the world can we be the people we ought to be personally or collectively if we don't know what the book says? Let's learn what the book says. Let's read the book. Then we'll know. That will grow our faith and our strength, our maturity. And then we can answer questions. I am convinced that you can go to a lot of churches of Christ today, and there's a lot of brethren that can't answer this question. They don't know how to answer that question. The Bible makes it very clear in Ephesians 5 and 19 that we are to sing. I've been studying with my 12th grade Bible class, and we've talked about mechanical instruments of music. We talk about all kinds of various issues and so forth. And I always like my Noah example. I've already mentioned Noah once. I use Noah all the time. He's just a great example of a lot of different things. And so I asked my kids, I said, "Do you all remember that God asked Noah to do something?" They said, "Build an ark." "Great. Out of what kind of wood?" "Gopher." "Great." I said, "Would it have been wrong if Noah had built the ark out of oak?" "Yes, sir. It'd have been wrong." I said, "Why?" "It's wood, ain't it?" "Well, it's not what God said." "That's great." I said, "Would it have been okay if maybe only the wood, gopher wood that was available, was close, and Noah used all the gopher wood that was close? I don't know if it was close or near, if he had to go 4 days' journey to get to it or whatever. God said build it out of gopher wood. And what if Noah had decided, well, I'll build the ark out of gopher wood, and when I run out, I'll use this oak over here and this pine. Do you think that would have been okay?" You know, people are going to answer like, "Well, I don't see anything wrong with it." You know, when God commanded us to sing, that is specific. Just like gopher wood. If God had said, just make music. Well, we'd have had a choice of singing or mechanical instruments of music. That's the two kinds of music. I've been in the presence of someone and having a Bible study, and the person says, "Why here, you Church of Christ people don't believe in music?" And the other Church of Christ person will say, "That's right, we don't believe in no music." What? We do believe in music. You know why we do? Because God commanded us to sing, and that's music. But He didn't command us to play an instrument. And if we sang and play an instrument, we'd be doing the same thing if Noah had built the ark out of gopher and oak. So, many of our denominational friends don't know that, haven't studied that, haven't thought about that. But there's a whole bunch of people that don't care. It don't matter. Bible talks about that. Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. You might recall that in Acts chapter 2, that the Christians there continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread. Contextually there, I think breaking of bread is eating the Lord's Supper. The day of Pentecost always fell on the first day of the week. And for something to continue, you've got to start. When did they start eating the Lord's Supper? Day of Pentecost. First day of the week. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, Paul talked about eating the Lord's Supper, and he talked about when you come together as a church. Chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, talks about coming together on the first day of the week to lay by in store. Could maybe we put those together, and maybe that's just another idea of that they ate the Lord's Supper, came together and worshiped on the first day of the week? I think that's exactly what they did. So what about the Lord's Supper once a month, once a quarter, twice a year? My mom and dad were members of the denominational church, and I remember when they got saved, and I remember when they were voted on to be members of that denominational church. And it wasn't long after that, my dad's family, they were all denominational people, but didn't go nowhere. My mom had Church of Christ background in her family, but they never went anywhere. When my mother married my father and they got saved in a denominational church, my mother's parents sicked, I'm saying it the right way, sicked a Church of Christ preacher on them. And he went a visiting. And he sat down with my mom and dad and he started talking to them. And it was one of the first things he asked them. Where do y'all go to church? Do y'all eat the Lord's Supper every Sunday? You might as well ask my mom and dad, can you fly this airplane? They didn't have a clue. So the fellow said, why don't you go ask your preacher why y'all don't eat the Lord's Supper every Sunday? They went and asked the preacher. He didn't know. He didn't know. Well, it made my mom and dad mad that he didn't know. It made my mom and dad mad that that Church of Christ preacher even showed up. It made them even madder when he questioned what they were doing religiously. So you know what they did? They started opening the Bible and studying for themselves. And you know what they come to the conclusion was? First century Christians ate the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. So that man continued to study with them. And I remember when they were baptized into Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of people in your family, your neighbors, you work with them, and they probably go to some church, and they ain't got a clue that it makes any difference about what you believe, what you teach, how you live your life. Maybe you should ask them. Well, I don't want to make anybody mad. Have y'all ever heard the song, You Never Mentioned Him to Me? You ever heard that song? That's the most awful song in the songbook. It's awful. You know why? Because it'll tear you up. You met me day by day, and you knew I was astray. But you never mentioned him to me. That scares me to death. standing before God Almighty, and somebody punches me. I didn't know you was a Christian. I didn't know you went to church. Well, we worked together for 30 years down here at Amazon or Publix or something. You never mentioned him to me. Wouldn't you like to be able to say, you know, I did mention Jesus to you. I tried to study about Jesus with you, but you got mad about it. And they go, yeah, that's right. I remember that. I'd rather have that happen. Get mad at me. In the day of judgment, they realize I tried. Than to hang my head in shame because I didn't want to hurt their feelings and them lose their soul. Does it matter? Brother and sister in Christ, on the day of judgment, it will matter. Are you saved before, during, or after you're baptized? Does the Bible talk about that? Does it matter? Lastly, does it matter if you obey God? Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Can you imagine standing before Jesus Christ in the day of judgment and saying to Jesus, well, I just didn't think it mattered to do what you told me to do. You think Jesus is going to say, well, that's okay. Bless your heart. That's Alabama saying, you know, bless your heart. You don't say it in Florida, do you? Bless their heart. Jesus is just going to say, well, bless your heart. You just come on in anyway. Now, if God does that, if Jesus does that, that's fine with me. I'm not going to object. I'm not going to raise a fuss. Jesus can do whatever he wants to do. But I would not risk my eternal destiny on the fact of him saying, bless your heart, when you didn't do anything he told you to do. It does matter. Well, that's what I come to tell you. Hope you'll study that. Hope you'll think about that. And if you have questions, I'm happy to talk to you about it. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. The Bible gives us plain instructions about how to become a child of God. And if you know what you need to do and just haven't done it, remember what Ananias said to Saul? What you waiting on? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You can be baptized into Christ this very night. There's water in the baptistry. I'm sure there's clothes up here. Some of these good men here will baptize you into Jesus Christ, and you can leave this building tonight, your sins forgiven, a child of God. If you're a child of God and you haven't lived like you should, maybe about what you believe, what you teach, what you practice, how you live your life, it's just not important to you anymore. You can change. You can repent of that. Come back to your first love, who will forgive through his son's blood. Can we pray with you and pray for you? We're glad to help you in any way. Won't you come as we stand and sing?